You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
SB Nation and Underdog Dynasty present the Underdog Podcast.
Welcome into another edition of the Underdog Dynasty Sunbelt Podcast. My name is Matt Miguez. I am the Louisiana writer for Underdog. And it is good to be back behind this microphone. It's been a couple weeks since I've been able to be on the show. But I'm back, and joining me, as he always does, is my man Brian Stone, our Georgia Southern writer. Brian, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. Just back to talk another week of Sunbelt football. I'm doing a lot better than the team that I root for is right now.
Right. You know, it's funny. I stepped outside today, and for those of you that don't know, I live in South Louisiana, and it is incredibly hot for 9 months out of the year. Today, this morning, I stepped outside and it was a crisp 66 degrees. And I said, okay, I can get used to this. That first weather change of the year.
Yeah. Not to get too deep into weather talk, because this isn't the Weather Channel podcast.
All right.
But here it rained all day and the high was 59.
What a life. What a life you live in Kentucky, Mr. Stone.
Yeah.
So all right.
It's getting crispy, though, for sure. You can tell, like, looking at the highs for next week, they're in, like, the mid-70s. I'm ready for it.
Oh, man, that sounds fantastic. Let's get into some – that's football weather.
Yeah, for sure.
That's football weather. Let's get into some football talk. You know, it's crazy we're already in week four of the college football season. Last week was an interesting one for the Sun Belt. Some big wins, some big losses. We'll talk about all of it, and we'll start with the Thursday night primetime game from last week, Louisiana hosting Ohio and pretty much dominating them start to finish, 49-14. Freshman running back Montrell Johnson, 13 carries, 84 yards, 4 rushing touchdowns for the freshman out of New Orleans. Levi Lewis, rather efficient, 21-29, 212 yards, 1 touchdown, and an interception. You know, Brian, this was just kind of a game where Louisiana scored a touchdown halfway through the first quarter, got one early in the second. Ohio cut the lead in half. Louisiana scores right before halftime to make it 21-7. And then in the second half, Louisiana outscores Ohio 28-7 to just run away with it in the second half. You know, this game, as the Louisiana writer, it's interesting because this was a game where Louisiana did not play their best football game, and yet you still won by 5 touchdowns.
Well, let me ask you this, since I'm sure you were very plugged into this game. What changed from the first half to the second half?
I mean, under Billy Napier, we've always been a second-half team. It's always been a, you know, if you're up 7-14 going into the locker room, you're going to run away with the game because Billy Napier's an adjustments coach. Mm-hmm. He's that type of coach that he watches the first 30 minutes on the field and figures out what he has to do to improve in the second half, and it just gets done. I think another big thing was we totally dominated them at the line of scrimmage. Offensive and defensive lines just completely dominated them all night long. And in the second half, I think Ohio was just exhausted. And so Louisiana kind of just had their way with them. But definitely a confidence builder for the Cajuns after the first two games. And now we look forward to opening conference play against Georgia Southern on Saturday.
Well, that shouldn't be too difficult. The way that we've opened the season shouldn't be too... I don't want to step on us previewing that game very much, but if we keep playing like we have the first three games, it's going to look like a lot like this Ohio game that you guys just played.
I mean, I hope not. I hope that you I mean, Georgia Southern can figure out a way to give us a game. And man, you know, I've told you this before. I hate going to Paulson.
I think the problem though with going to Paulson is like, if we had looked solid the first 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks of the season, right? I think Paulson on Saturday would be jamming, and I think it would be a real problem for you guys to come there. Right, with that said, the way that they've just come out like a deflated balloon the first 3 weeks, like, I wouldn't be shocked if there weren't 15,000 people at the game.
You think?
I mean, if you're a student at Georgia Southern right now, unless you grew up a Georgia Southern fan, let's say you're a new student coming in, you're watching this team on the field.
Right, right.
What, unless you grew up a fan and were raised in like a Georgia Southern household, why would you go watch them? I mean, I hate to say it, like, I'm a Georgia Southern fan, but like realistically, like, when I went to Georgia Southern in 2010, I had no connections to the school before I went. Now, the way that they played that season, like under Jeff Munkin and stuff, got me into the game and got me into the style of offense and all that kind of stuff. But if you're a freshman coming in watching this, like, right, you've probably got better stuff to do.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I don't know. I think this is going to be an interesting game. The game against Georgia Southern is always a tight one. I mean, last year, you look at last year's game, I think we were a 17-point favorite, and we had to win it on a walk-off field goal.
But that, well, let's just move on. We can talk about all this like when that preview comes up. I've got more like thoughts on that. So let's just move to the next game on Saturday.
The Saturday games opened up with 16th ranked Coastal Carolina barely escaping Buffalo, 28-25. Grayson McCall had another great game like he usually does. 13 of 19, 232 yards, 3 touchdowns and a pick. Shamari Jones, the running back for Coastal, 16 carries, 149 yards, and a score. I mean, I didn't watch much of this game, but I did see late in the game when Buffalo had the opportunity to rip it away from Georgia Southern. I mean, from Coastal.
Coastal Carolina.
Yeah. And, man,
I think this is a weird game because Coastal played a game like this against Troy last year where they should not have, it should not have been as close as it was. And it literally took them until the end of the game to finally kind of pull away. But the weird thing about this game is like, I would say it's a look ahead to whoever Coastal plays next week. But then I just look up Coastal's schedule. They play probably the worst FBS team in UMass. Right, so right. Like, maybe Buffalo is solid, but maybe Coastal just like didn't give them their best shot. I don't keep up with Buffalo, so I don't really know like what I was supposed to expect from Buffalo. Like, the only thing I knew about Buffalo is they had that crazy running back last year that had like 7 touchdowns in a game, Patterson. But yeah. I mean, I feel like they just didn't show up and they weren't firing on all cylinders, and like that was kind of the reason for it.
Yeah, and you know, that kind of seems to be Coastal's mindset for the year. They just kind of, if you look at their first couple of games, they just kind of seem to squeak by their opponents, and I just think that they're going to continue to do that going down the stretch. App State dominant over Elon, 44-10. Another great performance by Chase Bryce, 19 of 25, 293 yards and a touchdown. Cam Peoples, 11 carries, 80 yards, 2 scores. You know, this was a game where it seemed like Elon could do absolutely nothing, and App State just did whatever they wanted to do. I mean, if you look at the ways App scored, you know, 47-yard pass from Chase Bryce to Malik Williams, 2 field goals, a touchdown run by Chase Bryce, a touchdown run by Cameron Peoples, another touchdown run by Cameron Peoples. And then you had, at the last minute, you had an 8-yard touchdown run by Anderson Castle to just really put the game away. And I mean, what more can you say? App State seems to be right back where they used to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's been 7 years since Georgia Southern and App moved up to the FBS as a package. We used to both have to play Elon all the time as a SoCon team, and it just shows, like, I mean, 7 years in college football seems like forever, but it's really not that long. Like, you know, within the grand scheme of things, like, the sport's been around a long time, but it just shows, like, the difference in talent level and recruiting and scholarships and all that kind of stuff between a team that used to play in the SoCon. And I'm not saying that either one of these teams, like, used to play close with Elon, but it just shows, like, how different the talent level is between these two teams now. So right. It's like, you know, you mentioned it, but it's like Corey Sutton and Malik Williams each had over 120 yards receiving. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And I mean, their defense, we knew their defense was great. So it's no surprise they were able to hold Elon to 10 points in this one. Like you said, I mean, the biggest surprise for me thus far, and I don't want to keep saying this every week, is how Chase Bryce has kind of fit into this offense. And I've been very impressed with how he's played thus far. Now, we'll see what happens when they start getting into kind of the meat of their schedule a little bit. But, I mean, thus far, two thumbs up, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. Chase Bryce has been very, very impressive for the Mountaineers through their first three games. Here's a game that you're probably not looking forward to talking about. Number 20, Arkansas dominates Georgia Southern 45-10 in Fayetteville. You know, KJ Jefferson, 13 of 23, 366 yards, three touchdowns. Burks was their leading receiver, three catches, 127 yards and a score. You know, other than the 76-yard touchdown run by Justin Tomlin in the second quarter, what went right for Georgia Southern?
Well, I think the one plus, I guess, that you could take away from this game is it opened in probably the worst way possible. Like, Arkansas jumped up to a 14-0 lead, you know, in the first quarter, and they could have easily just rolled over and quit. Now, they rolled over and quit later in the game, but in the first half, when it was still within striking distance, right, you know, they had that big run by Tomlin. I'm fairly sure it was like a missed defensive assignment by one of the Arkansas defenders, but, you know, he was able to take it for a score. And then they come down, and it's 24-7. They kick a field goal as time expires in the second quarter. It's 24-10. At that point, that game is not completely out of control. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a two touchdown deficit against a ranked SEC team on the road. Now, they could not do anything offensively outside of that. I'll say this, outside of that one Tomlin run, like, at halftime, they had like 108 total yards and 76 of it came on that one play. So I think it's just like, it just shows the talent level difference between these two teams. Right. And I mean, I don't think I'm saying anything anyone doesn't know by saying this isn't the most talented Georgia Southern team that I've seen. Like, if anything, I'd probably say it's one of the least talented I've seen in like about a decade. So, I mean, yeah, I'm not surprised that a ranked Arkansas team that just beat Texas came out and was able to do this.
Right. We'll quickly run through the rest of the conference. Washington defeats Arkansas State 52-3. Georgia State
handled. Can I just say, hold on real fast, about the Arkansas State game? I was so surprised by the way this game played out. I know Washington's pissed because the first two games of the season they dropped to an FCS school in week one, Montana, and then they played Michigan in primetime and lost. But 52-3. 52-3 with a team that throws the ball as much as Arkansas State does.
Oh, yeah.
Unreal. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Georgia State defeats Charlotte 20-9. Troy overcomes Southern Miss 21-9. Incarnate Word squeaks by the Bobcats of Texas State 42-34.
Oh, God. Incarnate Word. Come on, man. Like, Texas State. Come on, man.
Things aren't going right in San Marcos.
Texas State. Come on, man. And then the next game, you know, you were about to list it. UL Monroe came very close to losing to an HBCU led by Deion Sanders. Oh,
Monroe almost lost to Coach Prime.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And you know,
7-3 for like the majority of this game.
You know, I ended up making other plans this past Saturday, but I live about 3 hours from Monroe, and I contemplated heavily driving up to Monroe just to say that I watched a game coached by Deion Sanders.
I'm telling you, man, I'm actually like, I don't follow HBCUs obviously, cause they're so hard to even like pull up information on, like the information's so few, like sparse, but from what I understand, I mean, he's been a really good coach for that program at the level they play
and then his son's his quarterback.
Yeah. When's the last, we know UL Monroe is not a good team, right? We all understand that. However, when's the last time an HBCU played like stride for stride with an FBS team this?
It's been a while. The last one that I can remember was UL and Grambling, Billy Napier's first year in 2018. It was 51-48.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy. That was a shootout of a game. That was Billy Napier's first game as the head coach for UL. And that was an absolute shootout.
Can I just really quickly, I know we're going out of order. Can I go back and just talk 1 minute about the Georgia State Charlotte game? I was really surprised that that Quad Brown, what did he lose the job? I didn't exactly find an update on what happened, but Darren Granger came in and played
a good
okay. Day. I mean, I don't know. It's weird. Does it feel like the Panther? I mean, if he was injured, you can go ahead and disregard everything about.
I was about to say Quad didn't play at all.
Yeah. And I can't remember if he was hurt or what the deal was, but have they gone ahead and turned the page on him as a quarterback? So. He must, something else must have happened, right?
Right. No, there's no way. COVID
protocol or an injury or something.
There's no way that they just gave up on the kid.
Yeah.
Let me see. I'm going to find it.
Well, anyway, while you're doing that, I'm going to finish up just going over these games. South Alabama, another HBCU running stride for stride with an FBS team, Alcorn State, Steve McNair's old alma mater, 28-21, South Alabama has to put together a big third quarter rally to overcome a 14-7 halftime deficit. So Alcorn State pulling it, you know, very close with South Alabama. Not a great look as far as my preseason prediction that they were a team to watch when they're beating an HBCU by 7 points at home in week four or week three.
So from what I can tell on social media, he was dressed and he was a coin flip captain last Saturday.
Oh, okay.
And then on their depth chart for their game this Saturday with Auburn, he's listed as the second string quarterback.
So they have kind of turned the page on him.
Yeah, they've turned the program over to Darren Granger, apparently.
I mean, I know they've not looked good the first couple weeks, but part of that is, I think, was level of competition. Now, I think they could start the guy selling hot dogs in the fourth row against Auburn, and it's not going to matter very much, but... yeah, that's pretty surprising.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Let's see. Did we finish? Yeah, you talked about Alcorn State, South Alabama. Yep. So we'll move on to week four now. Tomorrow night, Thursday, September 23rd, Marshall and App State from Kid Brewer Stadium in Boone. App is a 7-point favorite. Brian, who you got?
I think I'm going to take App in this one.
I think that's a good call.
I'm looking at the teams that... Okay, so App beat East Carolina earlier this season.
Yeah. That was a good game.
And East Carolina just beat Marshall by 4 points.
Okay.
So I'm going to use the common opponent denominator and also say that App is upset that Marshall was able to. Yeah, but App was also upset that Marshall beat them last season. So I think they get their win back. And I think if Marshall keeps playing like they did against East Carolina, it's going to get ugly.
Well, a lot of people beat App last year, so... I mean, they only lost 3 games, but I mean, that's a lot for App.
The Marshall game was weird. It was like 10-7 was the final or something weird like that. Like neither team moved the ball. Yeah. And I think this year, I think App kind of takes their win back. I think I would take the points with App here. I actually think this is going to be like a 21-point win. Or something like that.
Really?
At home at night on a Thursday in Boone against a team that just beat you last year? Yeah. Well, Grant Wells hasn't looked great. He's kind of not been very good since last year when everybody was kind of impressed with him as a freshman early in the season.
Right.
So I think I'll take App at big in this one.
And we'll go to Saturday now, and I'll go down the list from bottom up to the top. 7 o'clock kickoff Saturday night. In Monroe, Troy ULM. Troy is a 24-point favorite on the road.
And I don't think the spread's big enough. I mean, we're talking about a team that just played neck and neck with an HBCU.
They are a 24-point favorite, and the over-under is 50.
I think I take Troy in the over. I think Troy might hit the over by themselves.
You think Troy scoring 50?
Maybe.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, UL Monroe's played 2 games this year. They just allowed 45 to Kentucky in game one. I'm not saying Troy's Kentucky, but I would maybe venture a guess that Troy's offense might be more explosive than Kentucky's.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as the way that they call games, they want to score 100 points and throw the ball every down. So. Right. UL Monroe, I think, is they're standing on the tracks and a freight train's coming. Unless Troy just no shows this game, I don't see a way that UL Monroe even keeps it close.
I mean, I don't disagree. I think it's Troy by a wide margin, just because I don't like ULM, but also because I think Troy.
I mean, I feel the same way about that Coastal UMass spread. Like UMass is the worst FBS team.
Yeah.
And it's 36, and I'm like...
Coastal's going to have to change their scoreboard out after this game.
Yeah, what if Coastal hits... I mean, Coastal could hit 60 in that game.
Oh, they might hit 70.
Yeah.
They might hit 70.
I don't think these spreads are far enough apart. Like, I think there's going to be a lot of favorite betting this weekend, especially on these games. So,
Arkansas State and Tulsa, 4 o'clock kickoff from Tulsa, Oklahoma... The 0-3 Golden Hurricanes are a 13.5-point favorite at home.
Weird.
I'm taking the Red Wolves.
I'm taking the Red Wolves. I'll take the 13.5 and just cross my fingers and hope that they can they can keep it close. I'm gonna pull up Tulsa's schedule. So
who are their three losses? Tulsa
played Oklahoma State and Ohio State the last 2 weeks.
Oof.
They actually kept it fairly close with Oklahoma State. It was 28-23 was the final to that one.
Oh, okay.
And
who was their other loss?
They lost to UC Davis at home, week one.
Yikes.
Yeah, 13.5, okay, give it to me.
I'm taking the Red Wolves, for sure.
Yeah, give it to me.
For sure. On the Plains in Auburn, number 23 Auburn, hosting Georgia State.
And you catch a pissed off Auburn coming off of a loss in Happy Valley.
With
a quarterback at Georgia State that's making his, second start?
Right. Auburn minus 27. Give it to me.
The only thing that you have to be afraid of in a game like this, though, is that Auburn goes up 28-0.
Right.
And then they just put the backups in and run the ball every down, and Georgia State kicks a field goal and screws the spread.
Right. Yeah, that's...
I've seen Alabama back in the
day.
When they were back in the, a strong defensive team do this, where you're oh man, this spread is like 27, and then it's like Alabama wins 24-0, and you're just like, what?
Yeah, that's the Scott Van Pelt bad beats.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man.
It's like yeah, they didn't want to score in the second half. They just took a knee on every possession. It's right. Like great. Right.
Eastern Michigan, Texas State up in Michigan. East Michigan, a 6.5 point favorite.
I can't pick a team that has lost Incarnate Word, man.
Right.
Right. I'm sorry, guys. Like
I'm gonna pick the Bobcats just based on the fact that I know nothing about Eastern Michigan.
I'm going to take Eastern Michigan because I don't know anything about Eastern Michigan, and I do know about the Bobcats.
Oh, man.
So I'm going to inverse you just because they lost to Incarnate Word last week.
I mean,
so.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. A 12 o'clock noon kickoff on ESPN Plus, number 17, Coastal Carolina, hosting 0-3 UMass.
Spread's not far enough apart.
Coastal minus 36.
I'm taking Coastal in the over.
Oh my God. What is the over?
65.5.
65.5. Good God almighty. Yeah.
Maybe not the over, but this is another one of those where you could really get tripped up. Like Coastal could score 50 and allow none and then have their third stringers in by the middle of the third quarter and right. They don't score another point. So actually, just give me the 36. Like,
I'm not touching the over under in that game.
I would honestly be shocked if UMass scores, to be totally honest.
Unless Jamie Chadwell pulls Al Pacino and tells him to run it up.
Yeah, but I don't like. There's no value in doing that against a team like UMass. Though it's not like it's a conference opponent where you're like, we're gonna make a statement. It's like, yeah, I mean, like. I think Georgia Southern played UMass like 2 years ago and we had one of our like typical like slow starts.
Right.
And then we played UMass and the final score was like 52-0. And I was like, oh, UMass is just that bad then.
Right. Like, right. It's not that we're good. They're just that bad.
Well, it's like you get a team that starts slow against the worst FBS team in the universe, and then right. It's like
in the history of ever,
that's a get right game,
right?
Like, yeah, everyone looks amazing against them.
And then the game that you and I have been waiting to talk about, 5 o'clock kickoff, ESPN Plus, Louisiana and Georgia Southern from Paulson Stadium in Statesboro. UL is currently a 14-point favorite with an over under of 53.5.
I like UL. Spread wise, I think the final of this one's going to be like 35-17.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you this, I'll take the Cajuns, but I'm not touching that spread.
This season feels different as like a Georgia Southern fan. Like the past 2 years when we've started slow, I've been like, Shy Wirtz will find a way to like pick it up. And like, we'll look respectable by the time conference play starts. I don't feel confident in any of these quarterbacks, man, right. To be totally honest with you. Like I feel like they're on an island signaling SOS. Like they just need someone to do something. And it's just like,
after the last couple games that we've played and our history against you guys, I'm taking the Cajuns and the under.
Okay. Well, the other thing about this game, and I know you said that like you don't like when they come to Paulson, is like Lunsford's 0-3 against Louisiana since he's become the coach.
Right.
Like, he's never beaten them. And I think Louisiana's never lost in Paulson.
I don't think we have either. It's just a nerve-wracking environment.
But I mean, like I said, like there's no guarantee that this place, I mean, if we were 2-1 and didn't like completely crap the bed against FAU, I think that there would be a lot more enthusiasm.
Right, right.
We've scored. I want to put this in perspective for everyone listening who doesn't like keep up with the program as closely as I do. The last two games, we scored a combined 16 points, right? Against FAU and Arkansas. Okay. When Mercer played Alabama, they scored 14. I just want to let that like sink in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like we've barely scored more in our last two games combined than Mercer when they played number one Alabama.
May I rub salt on the wound? So
I mean, you can't. It's like, can you kick a dead person? Does it hurt the dead person? No. Like, I'm dead. Who cares?
So living in Louisiana, I'm a Saints fan. You're a Falcons fan.
Nope.
No, you're not a Falcons fan?
I'm a Patriots fan.
You're a Patriots fan. You're right. Okay, do you have any...
For the Falcons fans.
Do you have any respect for the Falcons?
Or no? No, not after that Super Bowl.
Okay, cool. So it's a meme I found, and it's Matt Ryan's leading receivers this season. Mike Edwards has 2 touchdowns. Calvin Ridley has 1 touchdown.
And Cordero, Mike Edwards a real person?
Cordero Patterson has 1 touchdown.
Okay.
In case you were wondering, Mike Edwards...
Oh, is it safety for the Buccaneers? Is it
safety for the Buccaneers?
Jesus.
And so as Saints fans, I mean, I love any time the Falcons get roasted.
Yeah. So I talked about this with you before we started the show.
Yeah, let's play the game.
I wanted to do a thought exercise really fast on the heels because both of our teams are playing and I just wanted to throw this out there. So... You don't have to close your eyes, but like metaphorically, close your eyes, picture a coach in your head. And I'm going to describe this coach. And you're going to tell me who I'm talking about, right? Okay. This coach started as an interim coach, was eventually promoted to full time. He took over a team that had a competitive fan base with a history of success. When I say competitive fan base, I mean, you know, rabid, like really want to win things like things of that nature. Okay. You know, he beat some of his rivals for a little while. Eventually the rivals started catching up, you know, eventually made some headway and got better than this team. He had a few successful seasons off the top, had a double digit win season in there. You know, things were going well for a while. The last few seasons, a little shaky, good, but not great. And then opened this season, 2021, with an embarrassing loss. Tell me what coach I'm talking about.
Are you talking about Chad Lunsford?
No, I'm talking about Clay Helton, who just got fired from the USC job. And he and Chad Lunsford have the exact same resume thus far.
Oof.
So I just wanted to throw that out there and kind of let everybody know where we're at.
Good old Clay Helton.
Yeah. So what's Clay Helton doing nowadays? And that's where I think we're kind of headed, if the first 3 games are any indication.
To be honest with you, what I think Clay Helton's doing is he's probably getting ready to be a coordinator in the NFL.
No, I think he's about to be an analyst at Alabama.
Oof. I mean, hey... That seems to work out for people.
But, I mean, I know it's not a one-to-one comparison because obviously USC and Georgia Southern are 2 extremely different jobs, but I think it's just kind of a through line to be like, you have all of these things working for and against you at the same time, right. And if they just keep... I said before the season, I didn't care if the wins weren't there, but they had to show... progress as the season moved along.
Well, for sure.
And they've looked so bad to start that if this keeps up, like, he may not have a job through the end of November or
you think they fire him mid-season.
If they keep playing like they have, there's no reason to keep him around. Like, he's out. It's like, you might as well go ahead and get the coaching search started.
Wow.
I mean, I can't quite put into words how bad they've been. They won. It took a defensive stand against an FCS team in week 1 to beat Gardner Webb. They lost by, 32 points on the road against FAU, a team they beat last season by 2 touchdowns. And then they get stomped by Arkansas, but I've kind of thrown that game out because I don't hold that against them. And now they play, the second... first, second, third, depending on where the season shakes out, best team in the conference to open conference play. I mean, okay, if they lose by the margin that I'm saying 35-17, it's an 18-point loss. Like,
yeah.
What's the point anymore? Right. Like, what's the point of just keep? Do we just keep him around just for appearances?
Just to keep him, right?
So I'm like, if they don't look competitive, like, they might as well just go ahead and fire him and get the coaching search started early. Because we're not playing for anything this year, so it's like we're not even going to make a bowl game if they keep playing like this.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So I mean, the over under for win total before the season started with Vegas was 4.5.
It is
like, that should let you know.
It's been a while since I've had to experience this. We've, you know, I remember going through the last couple of years of Hudspeth where it was just kind of we knew it was coming. It was a wait and see type of thing. And man, that last year, the last 3 games, it was actually Levi Lewis's freshman year. We had redshirted him because we had a quarterback that we liked and we figured we could save Levi for the future. And I remember Mark Hudspeth burned Levi's red shirt with 3 games left in the year to try and save his job. And by that point, he had already lost the locker room. He'd lost the fan base. Like, it was just, we were basically doing him a courtesy by not firing him midseason.
I'm a little afraid with the new redshirt rules. I think it's what you get to play in up to 4 games.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a little afraid that that's going to happen and we're going to lose a year of eligibility with Cam Ransom just to save like a guy's job who's right. Probably not going to be around.
Probably halfway out the door already, right?
Yeah. I mean, it just, I don't know, man. I just get the vibe that like everyone's kind of just done with it at this point.
Yeah.
Like, it's like he won 10 games 3 years ago. They've kind of been middling since, but the talent on the team at those last two years has been good enough to kind of push them over the edge and like make a bowl game, won one, lost one. I mean,
right.
But
right.
This year, I mean, is it not the job of a coach to like replenish the roster and like recruit?
No,
and all that.
Totally.
Okay. Is. Well, they haven't done any of that. They kind of sat back and were just hoping the same guys from last year.
Right.
When they knew who was leaving, were just going to come save them. And it's like, why would you pin all your hopes on a quarterback that's never started a game where Chai Wertz wasn't injured?
Right. Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. Like I've not been impressed with this team like at any point this season. So,
yeah, I don't disagree with you. I don't think that Georgia Southern has been very impressive either. But I also think that Georgia Southern's consistently been one of those programs where once conference heats up and gets going, I think you might see some improvement from them a little bit, but I don't know.
The difference with that though has been the last couple of years they've had some strong like senior and like upper class leaders. It's like, I don't know who the leaders
are. You're not seeing that this year, right?
Well, it's like our leader is either a running back that's still recovering from ACL surgery 4 weeks into the season from last year, who can't play because it keeps getting like flaming up and like he can't run.
Right.
Or it's a quarterback that is starting his first season in Statesboro and has not really been all that successful in the games that he's played in.
Right.
Those are your two like upper class leaders. And I'm like, no wonder this team looks like so disjointed. Like,
no, like, for sure.
And
for sure.
The whole running back room is like brand new except for like Logan Wright. So yeah. It's like,
no, for sure. Logan Wright and JD King. Who, like you said,
King can't play.
He's still recovering, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, he's what it, no offense to him. I mean, he's not played yet.
Right.
So how much leading on the field can you do when you can't get on the field?
No, for sure. Definitely going to get interesting as we head down into October. Brian, before we go, man, tell everybody where they can find you on social media.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at WatchTheStone.
You can find me on Twitter at MiguezMatt, both M's capitalized. Stay tuned for this episode as well as our preview articles. And next week we will come back to recap week 4 and preview week 5. Brian, appreciate you joining me as always, man. And looking forward to a good competition, a good game between both of our schools, man.
Let's hope so.
This has been another edition of the Underdog Dynasty Sunbelt Podcast.